Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. Frank Rush, along with Tarrant Mayor Duke Bennett, joining us today. It's been a while since we've had him on. Mayor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank.
So obviously the big thing on everybody's mind, COVID-19, the pandemic, and how it's affecting everything. Luckily for us here, we have not seen nearly the problems, hardly any at all, compared to what places like Indianapolis, or when you get out of here, go over to like Portland and those. We haven't had anything like that. But still, Terre Haute's got its own special set of problems. So how's the city faring so far?
Well, we continue to do well, even though our numbers have been going up, and the numbers really are directly attributed to summer parties. There was a lot of graduation parties, a lot of pool parties, a lot of things happened in that July and early August time frame that has led to younger people exposing somebody's picked it up somewhere, and then they expose it to a handful of other young people, and then they carry it back home or to, you know, grandmother, grandfather's house, whatever. And so therefore, a few weeks, our biggest portion of positive results were in that 20 to 29 age range. Then since that time, that's leveled off a little bit. It's still happening because of the colleges being back and everything else, but it's now moved into where those the parents and grandparents are beginning to show some signs of that, you know, virus being carried back into the house. And so I guess somewhat predictable, you know, that's what we were told to look for when school started back up, when colleges and universities especially. We're just seeing a lot of kids that kind of think they're invincible, it's not going to happen, you know, it's just kind of overplayed. And then they may get it, and they don't get very sick with it, but it's that being contagious and giving it to other people. That's where the spread comes. So I guess I still feel good about our overall numbers. We're not exploding here, just the numbers have clearly gone up. And, you know, they're having some issues at the federal penitentiary here. Every once in a while you hear some, you know, issues within the Vigo County School Corporation. Some of the surrounding counties have had some issues like that. I'm hoping that this is our peak. And so as we move forward and look at, I've not looked at today's statistics yet or this week. I looked at a couple, but this weekend, seeing the updates. But I'm hoping that this coming week will show that we continue on a level or downward trend.
For a lot of folks, figuring out how this octopus known as government actually works is a real challenge, and rightfully so, because it's complicated. So as the mayor of Terre Haute, what can you do, what can you not do, as opposed to who's really making the decisions? Is it the County Board of Health? Is it the governor? Is it the State Department of Health? Is it the city of Terre Haute? Who's really calling the shots on how and what we do?
Great question, Frank. And the reason, I mean, it's almost like I prompted you with that one, but that's a question I get on a regular basis from people, because I get people that are mad at me because of things the governor's done or the health department's done or the state health department's done or the president has said, because they're like, you know, I don't want to wear a mask and, you know, whatever. I get that. I understand those folks. Then you've got a whole other group of people out there that are very concerned about this. They're upset that people aren't, not every single person has a mask on. And so it does get confusing because you hear so much through the media about not just local media, but national media, about, you know, these hot spots and who's making the decisions. Here locally, the health department has been calling most of the shots, as they should. That was when we have a public health emergency, they're the responsible entity to help work through this.
And that's a county health department.
That
that's
is
not,
a county health department, countywide health department. Yeah. So then you've got the county commissioners who are the executive branch of the county, and then the mayor who's the executive branch of the city. There are some things that we can do, but they're very short-lived. We can do executive orders and things like that, but they don't have the same duration. In the case of the commissioners, they're a little bit different because they're executive and legislative. It's, for me, I could do an executive order and say, we need to shut down some businesses, we need to have a mandatory mask, you know, ordinance, whatever. I can do those things, but it's only good for 7 days. And then the city council has to decide what they want to do about it, because I can only do 7 days. So people will call me and say, Mayor, why don't you just, you know, do an executive order? And when, once I explain to them the way the law works, they're like, okay, I understand what you're saying, because it would only apply to the city. and it'll only be good for 7 days. And not that we couldn't extend it through the city council, but that's a whole different conversation and a whole different set of voting and priorities about whether they think it should be or not. So what I've wanted all along was the commissioners, myself, and the health department to be all on the same page about these things. And I think we have. When the governor came out with his mask order, that really helped everybody across the state, because these same conversations and issues are going on in every single county in Indiana. But then people would come and say, well, the mayor of Indianapolis did this, or the mayor of Evansville did that. But once again, the media doesn't report the whole story, that it's a short, very short-term thing, and then it's a lot of effort and a lot of getting people on the same page to move forward for long-term kinds of things. So I guess the bottom line is I feel good about people wearing masks now, and I understand those people that don't want to wear them, but people are wearing them. Everywhere I went this past weekend and this week, I've seen people wearing masks. I would bet 80 to 90% of the people have had them on everywhere I've been. And so that's going to be the key to slowing the spread. And if people will just, suck it up for a little bit longer, I think is the best way to put it, just hang in there, that we will get through this sooner than later.
So it's going to be a fun time just seeing how this all plays out.
Every day brings a new challenge, because it's like just when you think you're making progress, then you take a step back.
Well, and
it's very frustrating.
And real quick, too, on this. Okay, say you do an executive order for 7 days. You're obviously better versed in this than I am. And so save me the problems of having to research all this. Okay, so you do an executive order. So what? I mean, how are you going to enforce it? What kind of powers do you have?
I don't want to be negative to those people that think that's the answer, but you can't really enforce it. We have no city laws that say you have to wear a mask or you have to do this in a health emergency. Those are the things that the health department have some power over, because we have a declared health emergency. And so, and whether it's constitutional or not is a whole other question. I'm surprised there hasn't been more pushback on that, about whether these executive orders or city council ordinances or anything the state's doing, I'm surprised there hasn't been some pushback from those folks that are opposed to that. So, when this is all over, maybe we figure out how we prepare for the next one better. But right now, there are some pretty limited tools available for us without a lot of teeth in them.
Trying to get things somewhat back to normal. Eat in the Streets is back on. As this program airs on the radio, it happened the past two nights. But yet it's still coming ahead for the next, couple of weeks or so. So tell us about Eat in the Streets. First of all, we were going to try it, and then it's like, oh, no, well, never mind.
What happened was the health department kind of got involved a little bit late in the process, and so they had some criteria they felt really, strongly about wanting to do, and the downtown business owners agreed with some of that, didn't agree with all of it. I mean, it was just kind of a negotiation to get us to where we made sure everybody was safe. And we got to the end of that week where we needed to move forward with it or not. And some of the business owners just didn't feel comfortable quite yet, because some new things had been brought to light about, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And they just didn't feel comfortable with jumping into that, that weekend before, 2 weekends ago, because they just wanted more time to be able to process it. So we were able to get together and work out those things, get everybody on the same page. We think it's a great idea. A lot of other communities are doing it. It's been successful. They're doing Bloomington, Indianapolis, and a variety of other places in Indiana, but then all across the United States. And so we thought it'd be a good way to help these local downtown businesses who wanted to participate, these restaurants and bars. And so always felt like it was a good idea. We just couldn't get quite on the same page to make everybody feel comfortable to move forward with it. We've done that now. We've had this weekend. We'll process that again tomorrow. We'll debrief. And hopefully we can extend it, and plan to for a few more weeks till the weather turns, and just give people a place to go eat outside at their favorite restaurant downtown and be safer from exposure to COVID.
This obviously is something that the city has to go along with to happen. You don't just shut down Wabash Avenue without the city giving its blessing here. So how much liability does the city face if someone would become infected?
Well, none. I mean, that doesn't mean somebody can't sue you, but these are the individual businesses that have extended their outdoor seating they currently have out into the street. And so they've extended what they've already been approved with. They carry liability insurance for all that. COVID's kind of a unique thing, this pandemic in itself. But I'm not concerned about that at all.
All right. Well, yeah, because, you know, the reason I ask is because everybody's so happy about anything and everything.
Yep. You are exactly correct.
I don't know. How many times a year does the city get sued anyway?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I get tort claims every week, and then sometimes it turns into a lawsuit, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I'm going to guess we probably get sued, 40, 50 times a year.
Wow. All right.
you name it, anything, everywhere from a park to a sidewalk to a curb to an accident, a car accident. And a lot of times it's not even us. It's not even our responsibility, but we get sued anyway.
Well, because you're there and people, and yep. Look, let's face it, they don't sue you if they don't think there's money in the pocket to get.
They think there's an opportunity.
Yeah, if you're a pauper, you probably will never get sued because there's no blood in that turnip.
Yep, that's so, exactly right.
One of the other big projects going on is the new police headquarters. You're taking over the old Trib Star building, which they're gone. Now they're, out in the basement of the Meadows? So,
yep.
And I don't know, is how is work proceeding? What's up with that?
It's a multi-step process to get the bond approved. And so the city council meeting this past week was very key to that. So right now we're plugging in dates for the rest of our approval schedule. You know, there's pieces of this. It's got to go to the Redevelopment Commission and the city council to approve the bond. Where we're looking at a bond anticipation note so we can get work started sooner than when we close on the actual bond itself. And so, you know, we've had months here now to prepare ourselves for how we're going to do this. The bond market is extremely favorable right now, and so we want to take advantage of that. And so now we're doing all the legal steps. We had to get certain things in place, and so now we're there at that point to actually have votes on this. I'm hopeful we'll get the bond anticipation note very quickly. We can start on the construction, close on the overall bond then, and get the project finished and get moved into there. I'm saying right now probably it'll be after the first of the year. I'm hoping maybe by, February, March would be what the time frame that we're probably on. But we'll see when we actually get started.
Speaking of the bonds, this has got to be great news for you and the rest of the city government because they're practically paying you now to borrow money.
It is probably the lowest we're ever going to see in our lifetime. And so we've been preparing for these kind of things for years now. We've got our finances in order where we can position ourselves. We just refinanced the sanitary district bond within the last week or so. That's been very favorable for us, which I'm going to be putting out a press release on that very soon here. But it's it couldn't be the interest rates couldn't be much lower.
And it's got to be able to free up a little bit more because obviously there's caps as to how much governments can borrow and how much, when it comes to bonds.
It's all based on your assessed value and your debt limit, your debt load, which gives you a debt limit. And so you're exactly right. Even if interest rates are low, that doesn't mean you can just go out and borrow a whole bunch more because we have caps. But we've got room within our caps to do some things. And I'm looking at, obviously, this police station. We'll probably be looking at doing some financing for the next overpass at 13th and 8th Avenue. So we've got some big projects still in the hopper here and want to take advantage of these low interest rates.
And with that, combined with the pandemic and everything that's going on, how is the pandemic going to affect our city budget? Because let's face it, you and I both know over the past few years, you've caught heat like crazy over what the city budget is. And between you and the city council, it seems like everybody's kind of gotten things turned around to where we're okay now. But this is not helping you out.
So, taking just a quick step back in 2014, 2015 was our toughest years because, we just didn't have any cash on hand. And, other than what was coming in, basically on a monthly or every 6 months when we get our property taxes. And so we balanced the budget beginning in 16. and really in 15, but 16 even more so, where I had some cushion left over. And then each year after that, we've, you know, put a little bit more back, a little bit more back. Well, then along comes the COVID. And so we've been affected by some revenues this year, but we're going to be impacted even more next year because some of the revenues we get from the state run a year behind. They're collecting less this year, which means we'll collect less next year from the state. And so it's a challenge. Just when we got exactly where I wanted us to be, we have to take a bit of a step back. So I've had to reduce the budget for next year, hunker down for a year, and then hopefully get through the COVID, and then in 22, we kind of get back to where we are this year, coming into this year. So, yeah, it's a roller coaster, and there's ups and downs and loops mixed into this, and just when you think you're there, you know, you get something that sets you back. But then the casino revenue will begin to come in 22 also, which will be a game changer for us. So I'm looking forward to, you know, next year's budget is a good one. It's balanced, but I had to cut it back in order to make up for those lost revenues.
Well, speaking of the casino, real quick, I'll go ahead and I'll slip this in because I've driven by there. I know you've driven by there, and the pandemic has slowed things down, but to me, it still looks like a field of weeds.
Well, it's soybeans and weeds, but design work is continuing. Final agreements with Hard Rock and financial negotiations are still going on, so it's going to happen. There's no question about it. We're all good. It's just, the owner is working through the final pieces of this to be able to have a groundbreaking. So as soon as he gets that done, he will let us know when that groundbreaking is going to be, and that will kick the project off. I would expect construction to start within days of that groundbreaking.
Convention center still moving along?
Yep. Probably close 8th Street at the end of this month, and you'll begin to see actual things going up versus where we've been working underground for the last 60 days or so.
Well, all right. Well, we're all looking forward to something happening.
Yep, it's coming. I mean, COVID has slowed things down a little bit, but, you know, one of the examples on the convention center, the underground storage tank for stormwater got delayed because of COVID. It was built in Canada, apparently, and they had trouble getting it over here because of trucks and whatever. So just little things like that, people, you know, you don't know unless you're involved in the project, but there's a lot of pieces that have to come into play to stay on a schedule. And so now that we've got that stuff out of the way, we'll be using a lot of local labor and materials. And so as it'll go much faster as we move forward.
All this
as
stuff,
an example.
All this stuff just makes you glad to be an elected government official, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Who knew we'd be having a pandemic thrown in on everything else that many of us have never seen in our lifetime, but you know, you just got to be ready for the challenge. You got to keep a positive attitude about it, and you just got to hunker down and do what you need to do to keep the community safe, yet and not let things slow down to where businesses are dying. And that's what's been tough about this when so many small businesses are struggling. We've got to get through this and get people back to work.
Yeah, if you'd have had a crystal ball, you might have rethought that re-election thing.
Who knew?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Really, who knew? So I'm looking forward to brighter days.
Tara Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you, sir, for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's program, want to hear it again, we have it posted for you on our website as a podcast. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.